Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time for Ask Greg. Greg Pickle here is going to answer your Penn State football questions. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. We're coming to you, of course, from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're going to run down through your questions. If you don't know, download the Keystone Sports app. There's a button that just says Ask Greg. You click it, fire off a question, and the best question each and every week now will win a KSN polo shirt. Nice polo shirt. Jim has been holding out on me because he wants to give them to you guys. I only have like seven of them. So, but the best question, if there's any more incentive needed to get Greg Pickle's expertise, is to get a polo shirt out of it. So we'll start with the questions now. Coming off a win over Michigan that, you know, in some respects just didn't feel like a win to a lot of people. We got a bunch of questions having to do with that. We'll start Joel from Millersville. Seemed like Penn State could not get to Shea Patterson for much of the game. Was Michigan's offensive line holding most of the game, or was it just great protection on their part?
Oh, there was probably some holding. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
If you ask Jim Harbaugh, they've never held anybody in their entire lives.
Well, there's
he's never even held his wife.
Well, nice. And holding isn't called in the Big Ten, so you put those two facts together and you have what you have. I don't think that Penn State did its best job getting to the quarterback. I think Shea Patterson sometimes got the ball out more quickly than they could be expected to get there. So part of it was scheme. Part of it was Penn State's, just not either scheming right or doing enough stunts and twists and things at the line of scrimmage to confuse Michigan. Either way, I don't think it was their best effort, and I think it was probably one of Michigan's offensive line's best to the so far this season.
There were different pieces involved to that. I thought Michigan's offensive line played very well. I thought Penn State's defensive line, you know, there's this, I guess, troubling trend, I suppose, of not getting there in games of this magnitude, in key situations where your pass rush could really make a difference. These third and longs, it wasn't like Michigan was in situations where they weren't in must pass. They weren't in third and long situations. Penn State forced those things to happen. They just kept moving the chains anyway. Part of that, especially as we got into the second, third, and fourth quarters, was the adjustment to get the ball out fast, get it on the perimeter. Don't even screw around with this Penn State pass rush. So that was part of it too. But you know, even when Penn State sent extra bodies, it just didn't get there. It didn't get home on this Michigan offensive line. So I think there's some credit and some blame to go around equally. Mike from Hoboken says, now that was a whiteout. Michigan came, they played, we conquered. Is this the last year Penn State will play a Jim Harbaugh-led Michigan team? Well, I didn't read that question in advance. I didn't see it going in that direction.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's straightforward and to the point. No doubt about that. Yeah, you know, I don't know if Michigan can afford to move on from him at this point, but it feels like they almost have to if they want to make any progress. You know, he hires Josh Gattis to fix his offense and doesn't really put Josh Gattis, it seems like, in the position that he needs to be in to take full advantage of all the opportunities. So, you know, I don't know if they'll fire him, but if this thing goes really off the rails and they get blown out by Ohio State, Dustin, I don't think it's that crazy of a question. I don't know if they want to afford that yet. We'll see.
It really just comes down to where they envision this football is and where this football team is, where they envision it going. Like, obviously, Jim Harbaugh has gotten all the pieces that he could want in place. He's made the hires that he's wanted to make, and at some point in time you just kind of run out of excuses. It's a team that wants to be contending for Big Ten and national titles each and every year. They're still well short of that. Neither of those goals is really very realistic at this point. The question is, you know, like, here's what I think. They're going to beat Notre Dame at home this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're good enough to beat a good team at home. And I think they might even be favored in that Notre Dame game. They're going to beat Maryland. They're going to beat Michigan State. They're going to beat Indiana. They're going to go into the Ohio State game. I don't know whether they're going to play Ohio State tough or not. They're playing them at home. You know, I think there's a good chance that Penn State fans will be rooting for Michigan in that game. But they're going to be 9-3. And they're going to play in a decent bowl game. They're going to be prioritized in the bowl process because their fans travel and because they make money and people watch them on TV and all that stuff. But that's exactly where they've been. They're stuck in that 9-3 range. They're stuck in a range where they haven't really been a contender for, you know, Big Ten East Division titles, let alone a Big Ten championship. Right. So I don't know, man. I don't think it's quite enough to let Harbaugh go. I think you can, you have excuses in play. You've got your new offensive coordinator. It took you 4, 5, 6 weeks to get your offense going. So I think there are some built-in excuses. I don't think Harbaugh is done coaching this Michigan team yet. That's just a hunch.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I've been wrong often before. Me too. It's just a hunch. James from Beaver said, when is Clifford going to play, Sean Clifford going to play with some consistency? Feels like on any given drive, you don't know which one you'll get. Fair. Fair. You know, I think he's played fairly well. I think consistency is fine. He hasn't turned the ball over. He hasn't made plays that kill you.
Right.
He hasn't made bumbling fumbles and made terrible throws that warrant interceptions. You know, he's been one of the guys who's been one of the safest quarterbacks in the country. I think Pro Football Focus mentioned that. So, I don't know. You take the good with the bad. He's still a redshirt sophomore. He's still early in his career. Inconsistency from one drive to the next isn't uncommon. Trace McSorley was a victim of that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the ways Clifford can make the most improvement, and we talked about it a little bit off the air, but just getting to those second and third progressions and letting plays develop a little bit longer. I understand that, you know, the fact that he hasn't turned the ball over is in part because he's decided to take off and run and not force throws that aren't there and not try and get balls in the windows that might be a little bit higher risk for interceptions. But at the same time, you know, to get your offense going in a more consistent clip, sometimes you have to do that. So, yeah, I mean, Sean Clifford, I think, still leads the Big Ten in all, you know, total yards of offense gained. So, you know, to sit here and try and criticize him too much, I just don't think that's the right way to evaluate his season to date.
I think we've seen all the pieces. We've seen all the ingredients. And I think we've seen them, you know, in that Maryland game, they all came together. When he's going, you know, he can make touch throws down the field very, very well. You saw that in the first 20 minutes of this game against Michigan, making throws down the field. He's got a good deep ball. He's mobile. I think he's slick in the pocket sometimes. He can run the ball. Obviously, we've seen that. So he's got all these ingredients. I think that when pressure comes, when his clock gets a little accelerated, I think he's a little quick to give up on plays, which I think you'd rather have that than the other way around, right?
Agreed.
He's not taking a bunch of bad sacks. He's quick to throw the ball away, which I think all in all, that's a great sign for his future.
Right.
If he's at that point now, 7 starts into his career, you saw it in Michigan throwing the ball away. Sometimes maybe that's too conservative. Sometimes maybe he's stepping outside of the pocket and eluding pressure before the pressure is even getting there. Sometimes the feet are a little happy. Sometimes they go 3 and out. Sometimes that's on him. Sometimes that's a drop. Sometimes that's on the play calling.
Right.
I just think as a whole, the quarterback is going to take more credit, take more blame. We all know that. But I think Clifford, all in all, has played pretty well for his first stint as a starter.
I'm right there with you.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. Winning question, by the way, this week and moving forward, gets a KSN polo shirt. Get your questions in using the Keystone Sports app. Nice and easy. You should have the app anyway to listen to us anywhere you go. Eric from Holland, PA says, love the show. See, Eric loves the show. He probably has the app. If you don't, Eric, go download it. Need some help understanding how the coaches can watch Noah Kane in the fourth quarter against Iowa and then not make him a bigger part of the game against Michigan. What does a back need to do on this team to separate and be the go-to?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I really don't. I don't know what has to happen for that to be the case. Again, as we talked about before, clearly it's as plain as obvious as you can imagine that there's something going on here behind the scenes that has not been in the public light yet that is keeping Noah Kane from being the guy that's on the field more. I mean, part of it does. I can just hear James Franklin making some comment about, you know, well, if we only have X amount of plays and what do you want us to do, yada, yada, yada. But there's still ways to get your best guy on the field. They just haven't taken advantage of those yet.
I think Greg seems to believe that there's something we don't know about Noah Kane or whatever, and that I'm sure that there's some truth to that. I also think that there's just a little too much cuteness going on with managing this four-man rotation.
Right.
It's impossible. It's impossible
it is.
To do.
Absolutely, it is.
You can't use four running backs and at the same time need to try to get two tight ends involved because you know, Pat Freiermuth and Nick Bowers both deserve it. To get Jahan Dotson, to get KJ Hamler, to get your two redshirt freshmen who you really believe in, Daniel George and Justin Shorter, to get them involved. I just don't know that you can do it in a very consistent fashion. Yep. And this is what you get. You know, in game, when the feathers are flying, you're scripted to some extent to start the game, who's in what series. But then you got to make choices based on game flow. And I don't think they've always made the right choices either. So we'll see. I think that this is a fair question that James Franklin should be presented with when games go like this. I don't think there's a good enough explanation for not getting Noah Cain involved. We'll do one more question. Here from Jason from Champaign, Illinois. Said he was there, and it was amazing to see this Illinois team beat Wisconsin. Says in the Iowa game and now in the Michigan game, it seems like when Penn State punts, Gillikin is getting hit. Meanwhile, when opponents are punting on Penn State special teams apply almost no pressure on their punters.
Yeah,
is that actually happening? Or
yeah, no, it absolutely is. Penn State stays, and I don't know if that's risk management and just saying we're not going to put ourselves in position to get a penalty, or if it's something else. That'll be a good question for Joe Lorig whenever he's made available later this year. But yeah, so the call so far when it comes to the punters being run into is that they're being Penn State's players are being blocking those guys into their own guys who would then in turn hit Blake Gillikin. It's a problem, man. You're going to get one block eventually, and they can't keep doing the rugby punt because that doesn't work as well. So I don't know what the solution is there necessarily, but what I do know is it needs to be fixed because they are giving way too easy of a path to Blake Gillikin, which eventually could pose a big problem.
Yeah, which is why the rugby punt came into play in the first place, is that James Franklin said, you know, it's not worth having Michigan tee off on that last line of defense, that little wall in front of Blake Gillikin. Yeah, something's got to be a little different. He's athletic enough that you'd think the rugby punt could work, but it just hasn't been a great delivery on those. Who asked the best question here this week, Greg? Joel on Michigan's offensive line, Mike on whether Jim Harbaugh has coached against Penn State for the last time, James from Beaver, inconsistency with Sean Clifford, Eric from Holland about Noah Cain, and then just this past one, Jason from Champaign on
Let's
punting.
Go with Jason because he was at Illinois, Wisconsin. It's a heck of a game to have a ticket to, and yeah. I hope he doesn't have to watch too much more Illinois football.
This possibility is why you go to Illinois games. Usually not going to get entertained like this, but good for him. Jason winning the KSN polo on for the question about Penn State punting. Fair question to ask, definitely for sure. All right, we're moving on for now. Best bets coming up, including Penn State, Michigan State. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.